Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today, we'll choose an EV for a Canadian couple looking to replace a Lexus ES350, a totally different Canadian couple looking for an EV while they wait for the reserved Rivian R2, and an American couple who want to replace their Lincoln Corsair Grand Touring. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast. This is episode number 31. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I'm joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, send us a one-minute video clip or a short email with a couple paragraphs describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's just kick this thing off with our first case for today. How you doing there, Martin?
Good, ready to get going.
All right. So, and to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. Right, so ready to go some car shopping, I guess?
Okay, let me bring up our first one.
It comes to us from Bob, and he writes, "Hello from Canada. My wife has been waiting for a Hyundai Ioniq 5 for over 2 years. Really long story. But now we've decided to wait until they come with the NACS plug. We have been a bit disappointed with the Hyundai dealers, especially with their add-ons and expensive packages. In the meantime, we have been looking virtually at the new ID4 at Kyle's Review. We have never test driven or seen one in person. We live in a small town and need to travel about 160 miles to either a Hyundai or Volkswagen dealership. We currently drive a 2019 Tesla Model S and a 2013 Lexus ES350 non-plug-in hybrid. We will keep the Tesla and replace the Lexus. The question is, Ioniq 5, ID4, or what? Driving, she drives mostly in town, about 5,000 to 6,000 miles a year. Our road trips are in the Tesla, as we have free supercharging. Longest road trip for her would be 180 to 200 miles. Charging, we have a Tesla wall charger at home, and that would be used for about 90% of her charging. Price would be preferably less than $55,000 US. Any ideas or recommendations? Thanks, Bob." Well, hey, Martin. You have any ideas or recommendations for Bob here?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into it. So, first of all, let's pick apart your email a little bit. In fact, maybe we'll come back to that at the end, because I want to talk about the NACS plug. But let's get into why, what car you should go for. So, Ioniq 5 with NACS, or should you go ID4 now, made in the US, of course, or something else? Hey, Bob, I think the ID4 would be a great choice. I think the ID4 now is really good. I think the ID4 at launch was perhaps not ready, and I think if you caught VW on a good day, they'd probably admit it as well. The new 12.9-inch screen looks great. The bigger screen makes a real difference, actually. The rear-wheel drive version with the AP550 motor, which is more powerful, more efficient, makes a really big difference as well. That new bigger battery is going to charge up to 200 kilowatts. The curve is really good as well. And so, look, you can get a Pro S spec, a Pro S rear-wheel drive. Doesn't sound like you need all-wheel drive where you are. And that's going to feel, I think, comparable in terms of the amenities that you've got to the Lexus. Maybe not perhaps the prestige of the badge and the choice of materials, but you should at least give it a go. And I think that is going to fit 12-way front seats, massage function. It's going to be, look, the ID4 now is a very, very good car. And should you wait, if you want to get an EV, if you want to get an EV now, I wholeheartedly recommend, I can say hand on heart, ID4, great car now, wasn't always so great. Ioniq 5 as well, also very good. And if you're considering the Ioniq 5, I used to own a Kona, and that's a very, in terms of the software and what have you, the icons have got a different skin, but otherwise it's pretty much the same experience. Like, the icons look the same, and the charging on the Ioniq 5 is obviously 3 times better, 4 times better, depending on state of charge of the Kona. But again, if you are doing your road trips in your Tesla, then maybe you don't need a really fast charging second car. And you get, and Hyundai have got some fantastic deals on at the minute, 0% on their cars, because of course they haven't got the $7,500 federal tax credit, so they're chipping in that money right now. And the new Kona and the new Niro, I would say both are worth a look as well. If you don't need the space that the Ioniq 5 provides, it's a very big car, 3 meter wheelbase, by the way, and huge amounts of room in there. If you don't need that size, and you might want that, then have a look at two-wheel drive Konas and Niros, because it's all from the same family. I've got some more points, but I'll hand back to you, Dom, for your thoughts on the cars.
Well, I wasn't sure what to do with this exactly. You know, new Ioniq 5 or ID4. I love the 2024 ID4. Like you said, it's like so much improved, and you know, it's, I think that's a solid vehicle to recommend. It just matters about price. So they've been waiting for 2 years for this Hyundai Ioniq 5. For some reason, I'm not really sure why. I think there was something about the cars. There was some that had been. We chopped this email down a little bit. So there's some things missing that, you know, I read earlier that the audience won't see here. But so I think they had some Ioniq 5s come in that, but they just weren't quite happy with for some reason. I'm not sure if it was the color combination. They didn't really say specifically. But, you know, I think if they wanted an ID5, they could get one, because you can get into a used one, you know, if you didn't want to spend out for the, you go, you know, whole hog and get something brand new. You can get there's some good deals on some used ones. I found a 22 in Canada. Actually, I should share this up on my screen. 22 in Canada for like $47,980 Canadian, which is, you know, considerably under his budget there of US 55, and we just popped that up on the screen. This is one of, you know, there's a bunch up there for like close to this price range. I think it's not a strange deal out there, you know. It's not like a right, but yeah, if they wanted to get, I think, but if, you know, I don't know if they really want the Ioniq 5 that badly, you know, or would have jumped into, I don't know. So I was thinking that, and for some reason I'm in like a used state of mind mostly for these people, and I also, because they're in Canada, I was thinking all-wheel drive. So I was thinking there's a, you could go for a low mileage, a very low mileage Tesla Model Y. It's like $56,950 Canadian was a price I saw on that, which is still well below their budget. Or a Model 3, which I believe they have a Model S now. So they have they want to replace a 2013 Lexus, which is like a fancy Camry. So I think a Model 3 would be kind of in that same sort of, you know, sort of niche, you know, sedan. I mean, I don't know if the Model 3 rises to premium exactly, but you can get a decent one for well under your budget, like 97,995. Very low mileage Model 3s in your area. Or if they want to go new, I found this as well. This is kind of interesting. Let me share this on the screen. A Ford Mustang Mach-E Select all-wheel drive for $44,948 Canadian, and that's eligible for the $5,000 federal ISEV credit, as far as I could tell. I'm not super familiar with the Canadian incentives, but I was like looking around last night, and this seems to be available for this car. I found that it's, you know, on the government's website itself. So I know like this spec, this year car is supposed to be covered by that. Right. John Ross says Canada has a 5,000.
Dom's removed himself from the stream, so I'll carry on until he comes back. I had a couple more thoughts on the actual cars, by the way, that before I hand it back to Dom, and hopefully he does rejoin. Otherwise, it's just you and I for this live stream. And that was, I had a look at the US pricing, and so not Canadian, apologies for that. I had a look at the US pricing, and the Ioniq 5 limited spec, by the way. Oh, welcome back. I thought I was going to be on my own. I thought I had a power cut or something.
I clicked the wrong button.
Good to have you back. Limited spec on the Ioniq 5 is going to come with 5 years of 0% finance. That's, again, it's a US, the US website I checked earlier on today, so maybe that's different in Canada. But also Model Y. And I think one of our commenters had that point as well. They're offering 0.99% finance on the Model Y right now. I think it's no secret there's an oversupply on Teslas right now. They have more capacity installed around the world between the various factories they have built and than they can sell right now. And that's just supply and demand and fluctuations. And I've no doubt that that demand is going to come back or they'll equalize that all out. But you know, in the car business, having oversupply is just suicide in terms of your capital invested. And so they're not going to be built in Mexico anytime soon at Tesla. And so that means great deals for you, the buyer. And I think you've got to have a look at a Model Y. Now, a couple of things that I want to pick apart. First one is how far you are away from dealers. You've not driven the Model Y and you had your heart set on the Ioniq 5. But I think if you had your heart set on it, you'd have a used one already. And, you know, if you can, your new one was being prepared or isn't, you know, in build in the factory, I think you'd have one for 6 months if you adored that vehicle and it was a heart overhead purchase. So it doesn't sound like your heart is set on the Ioniq 5. So I want to pick things apart. You know, you live 160 miles away from a dealership. You've been watching Kyle's brilliant videos for reviews, but there is no substitute for getting inside the car. So you've got a Tesla already, which you're going to use for road trips. Why not make a road trip of it? Why not make either a day or even maybe an overnight weekend or something and pick somewhere, maybe a town or a city that's a nice road trip distance away that's got perhaps a VW, a Hyundai. Maybe you can get some time in a Tesla Model Y as well and make a weekend of it. And why don't you get away and get some seat time in all of these vehicles? And you know, not with the dealer riding along with you for a quick 15 minutes, but an hour or two. I'm sure you can swing it because there's supply around of EVs right now, again, because of the supply demand cycle we're in. And they want to sell those EVs. So get some seat time, try it on different types of roads, because you'll be surprised. If you haven't actually been in these cars, it might just be that it just doesn't, you know, fit or whatever. So right. have a think about how you can get some seat time in that and just make a weekend of it, make a day of it or even a nice weekend away as a good excuse, as a special event or something like that. Just, but you know, book a nice hotel somewhere and, you know, enjoy the time. You haven't got to make a decision on your purchase that weekend. And then the other point you say about waiting for the next plug, I want to ask Dom about this because, you know, we are gazing into the crystal ball a little bit, but do you think vehicles with NACS native on the side versus CCS one native on the side is going to make a significant difference to the resale price of vehicles in the future? And I've tried to phrase that question to not be as loaded as possible because I know what my opinion is. But what do you think?
I mean, I'm sure it could have some effect, but I think that effect's going to be pretty small necessarily, you know. Well, depending on people's, you know, maybe $500 in the future. I'm not sure. You know, you buy a used car sometimes and you can get some great deals and all kinds of, you know, loaded features, higher spec trims than you really thought you could afford, because some features just aren't like options in the resale. When they get resold, they don't have the value that you know, dealers ask for or manufacturers ask when they first sell them to you, right? You can pay like $5,000 for heated rear seats in your BMW. That's an exaggeration probably. But then when you resell that vehicle, you're not saying, well, it's got the heated rear seats, I can charge them an extra, you know, $2,500. People don't generally think that way too much. So in the resale market, those sort of options and extras come way down in consideration. And that NACS plug, I guess, is a bit of a convenience feature. And for their situation, I wouldn't stress about it too much if they already have a Tesla. So I did mention actually I brought up Ford because that's also on the Tesla network, and they're used to. I guess there's enough of a network that they're used to, they can use it. But I did like your suggestion very much about going to town and trying out a few, because yeah, driving the Lexus and then getting into a ID4 is going to be a very different, or the ID4 is like a very different experience from the Hyundai Ioniq 5. Like the ride, how you sit, everything about that car is different. And one of those vehicles might be very uncomfortable for you, or very, you know, just not what you want.
Yeah, like, right. I absolutely love the seats in the Arctic 5. I love the fact that you got the that big area at the front that is you can sort of move between the two seats. Designed on an EV, great platform that it's on. But yeah, on that Nax plug thing, you know, it is crystal ball gazing. But if you are watching this right now and you're thinking about making a purchase, I don't think I would wait. Easy for me to say I'm in the UK. Easy for me to say. I don't think I would wait and delay a purchase until Nax is native on the side of the car, because there's going to be adapters. So, you know, yes, all the car makers are going to be able to get access to the supercharging network, but we always try and split out supercharging and J3400. Same thing, but different things. Let's not get the two too confused. So, yeah, all the car makers will get, presuming there's a supercharger team to do the software bit, Tesla's end, I'm sure there is, then they'll all at some point turn on. What you're talking about is having a car, if you are going to own it for 10 or 15 years, that's not a complete pain in the backside, because when you want to charge it, you don't want to use an adapter, but you want to rock on up to a charger that's got a native J3400 connector on the end, and your car's got a J3400 socket on it. But still, there's the convenience factor of not using an adapter. Look, and J3400, NACS, whatever you want to call it, that's built, you know, the Tesla connector is built on CCS. So it's all kind of the same anyway. It's whether you use an adapter or not. Will it massively devalue your car in the future? I'll take a punt and say no. I'll say in 3 or 5 years' time, is it going to be absolute poison to own a CCS1 EV? I don't think so. I think that there's no lemons on the market in 5 years' time because, oh, it's got a CCS1. I'm not going to buy that. I just don't think I don't think it's the case. I hope I'm not proven wrong, because I think that would be completely overblowing the issue. Yeah. So I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't wait for a car, because you're talking 2 years, and we're going to get onto another email that's about waiting, and I wouldn't wait.
So our next email comes to us from Justin, and he says, Hey guys, I'm flailing my arms around here, knocking stuff out. First off, love you guys. Thanks for doing such great and comprehensive podcasts. My wife and I have had a Tesla Model 3 since 2019. My first EV was a 2013 Nissan Leaf. Before that, I had a 2007 Toyota Camry Hybrid. We were looking to get a second EV. My wife commutes about 40 kilometers, that's 25 miles, round trip. I work from home, but started a second job in September, 10 kilometers away, that's 6.2 miles. We'll be moving to a much more rural area, and we'll be able to charge at home. A Tesla wall charger already redeemed, and panel will be 200 amp. We have no plans for kids, and the Model 3 was enough for the things we buy and carry, although more is always better when buying bigger things like furniture. We're in Toronto, Canada, and do get heavy snow. I pre-ordered a Rivian R2, but that's a 2026 or even further away. Nothing out there that I really want, so I may prefer to lease, maybe 24 to 36 months, 48 if it's a good deal. I ideally just want to pay just under 400 to 500-ish a month. That'd be 293 to 366 US. Is that possible? What EV should I get, or should I just get an e-scooter? It's no problem, though. Much appreciated, Justin. All right. So, our Canadian friend Justin this time, he's contemplating cars or possibly scooters. What do you think here, Martin?
I mean, hey, you're the Canadian native, formerly, and so you're probably best in terms of knowledge. Is four-wheel drive a must here?
I mean, I lean towards four-wheel drive personally, but really, if you have a two-wheel drive and with good snow tires, it should be fine. You know, because generally you're not driving too much on unplowed streets. That's kind of rarish. I mean, well, in Toronto, Toronto's a little bit warmer. In some places, they do get some lake effect snow sometimes. But, you know, temperatures are not the coldest. It's not the coldest place in Canada, because also the lake keeps it a little bit warmer. Yeah, I don't know. I was looking at this, and I would say, if you don't like anything that's out there, the R2 might be but you really like the R2. He's waiting for that. So in the meantime, I guess, like, get the R2. But in the meantime, I don't know what did he say his local commute was. because the scooter seems like a...
Yeah, I think he was joking on the e-scooter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Moving so, to a rural area.
In September, yeah, you can't... Yeah, a winter trip, if you're on sidewalks or, you know, gritty roads on the scooter, it just sounds like a kind of a hellish ride. 6 miles, that's a long ways every day in a scooter, like...
I mean, look, you can do an e-bike and 6 miles at the end of the day. Not... Yeah. Not the end of the world, but let's presume you want a car.
He starts that job in September, and it starts getting chilly in September right about that time. So some Canadians do bike through the winter, but those are pretty hardy souls, I think. So I would just go stick with something used for now that won't depreciate too much over the 2 years that you're waiting for the Rivian R1T. So I went looking on the I use Car Gurus because they have a Canadian version of their site, which is cool. And I found like pretty interesting little deal for you here. This is a really good deal, actually, I think. Tell me if I'm wrong, Martin. 2014 BMW i3 rural drive. It's got them skinny tires, right, on these things, which I think are better than in the snow than wider tires. So if you get some good winter tires for this thing, it should be great, actually. 13,888 Canadian, which I didn't do the math on that, but that's right around $10,000, I think, US. For 2014 BMW i3, it's got around 25,000 miles on it, so kind of low mileage for the year. I thought it was a great-looking spec, and I don't know. What do you think about this, Martin?
I mean, I hadn't considered that. I went looking for new lease deals for this Justin. So I hadn't thought about this. But I love curveballs. I think it's a great curveball. He's not going to have the longest commute in the world, neither is his wife. Why not save some money?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's just hold on. Because that's not going to depreciate a whole lot over 2 years, I feel like. You know, a couple grand, something, maybe.
Oh, that's taken all the hit on depreciation it's going to get for a long time.
Right. I mean, and I think that's a really good, like Car Gurus has it rated as a great deal. And it's that's what I would think to expect to see this car in US dollars and with the exchange. So I think it's pretty, pretty good deal. I mean, the other things in that whole price category, whereas Hyundai Ioniq, this is just a much nicer car than anything else that was in that sort of price range.
And yeah, it's a different kind of thing from what I was thinking of, because he was saying, well, the bigger the better.
Sure.
And that is definitely a little pocket rocket, but you're not going to get any furniture in there. And you say no kids and stuff like that, and that's cool, which is why I had a look at some of the lease deals that are around, and there's really good lease deals from the Hyundai group. So things like the Genesis GV60, again, all-wheel drive, great lease deals on that at the moment, because again, they just want to shift stock, and you haven't got kids, and I think that car is probably too nice for children. And I say that as the parent of a 2 and a 6 year old who'd smush various things into the back seats in their kids' seats of anything that I put them in. And so and despite my rule of no eating in daddy's car, I found just a packet of raisins just spread on the back seat the other day. So I had to say, has mummy been breaking the rule? I don't think daddy's rules ever stick in this household. We know who's in charge, don't we? And so look, they just ruin everything. And love them to bits, but they ruin everything. And Genesis, you haven't got kids. A Genesis GV60 is a lovely car. Materials are great. That fantastic little gear selector that spins around the little what's the word I'm looking for, not diamond gem kind of thing. That's really cool. So have a look at that. Have a look at the Ioniq 5. Good lease deals on that right now, and say 0% deals. Have a look at Polestar, and I'm fully aware that I'm just here to promote Polestar these days since I bought one. I'm such a big fan. I'm genuinely surprised by that car every so often. It's got 2 monthly updates on over the air updates, I reckon, every couple of months, and it just gets better, and I wasn't expecting it to be this good. I went shopping for a Tesla Model 3 and came home with a Polestar 2. And this is the original one. It continues to surprise me. Google's brilliant. It just feels like a very well put together car, and hasn't got the head up display, but that driver's dash, the binnacle, where it will either kind of duplicate the center screen or it'll split things out. And the Google mapping is really good. I didn't use CarPlay in it because the Google stuff is good. And I'm in the Apple ecosystem pretty much everywhere. Have a look at Polestar 2, all wheel drive, lease deals from $299. And, And you might find yourself a nice car. It's a reasonably big car. I've got some pretty big stuff in the Polestar too, because it's got the hatchback and plenty of load space in it. So have a look at that. I would recommend it. All-wheel drive lease deals are the same price as the rear-wheel drive. I think the rear-wheel drive comes with some cash back or something, but otherwise just get the all-wheel drive version for where you are.
And someone mentioned William Erasmo reminded us he needs to haul furniture. He sometimes haul furniture. And that's true. That's a good point. You're not going to haul a lot of furniture. You mentioned this too, Martin, in the i3. But you could also, as David Lutz reminds us, rent a truck for the day for the once in a while truck needs, which is also, I think, pretty good advice too. You know, a lot of people overbuy, just trying to take any particular or any outside situation into account. Like, well, maybe I need to go fishing 1,000 miles away and pull a camper one day. You can rent stuff for those situations, and not end up spending a whole pile more money than you really need to on a vehicle that does what you needed to do 98% of the time.
I got a whole box of cables of things I might need one day. There's no point owning stuff you might use one day.
I have a lot of boxes that I'm convinced I'm going to use to ship stuff with sometime.
Maybe
eventually.
One day I better buy boxes. A car. Just because I might use it. So it's a good shout. Yeah, I mean, you can always rent stuff.
All right. Our final case comes to us from Dan. He says, "Hey guys, I'd like to get my wife into a fully electric vehicle. We bought a new Lincoln Corsair Grand Touring back in 2021. That's a plug-in hybrid. She loves the car and wishes it had more range as an EV. Originally, I had tried to lead her to a Volkswagen ID.4 or a Ford Mustang Mach-E, but they were too plain and she was not ready to go full EV. We went to a car show in Memphis and saw a few more new EVs. The Audi e-tron seemed to cover the luxury she requires, and the rep told me he had a couple 2023 models with less than 4,000 or models with less than 4,000 miles, but no one would even open the doors. Sounds like a potential good deal, but I'm not sure the Q4 is the way I should lean with a small range and other issues reported. My wife drives about 80 miles round trip to work. Is the e-tron a good fit with a reliable history? I heard Kyle say any Audi was good except the Q4. Is a very low mileage Sportback 50 Premium a great deal starting at $39,700, or should we wait for next year's parade? The Lincoln currently has 45,000 miles on it and with no known issues, and I don't want to put her in a vehicle that would discourage her from EVs. She does like to change vehicles every 4 years or when they start getting close to 80,000 miles. Thanks, Dan." Well, this is interesting. So what are your initial thoughts here, Martin?
Well, great to hear that the 20, 25 miles or so of range you've got at the moment is not cutting it and you want to go full EV. That's good news. So just to quickly address the Q4 issue, not sure Q4 is the way to go because you've heard Kyle say that any Audi is good except the Q4. I think I disagree with that. That's the Q4 is a...
Maybe he said the other Audi was...
I'm not sure.
That's reliable.
The Q4 is great. It's definitely a price premium to pay on it because it's got the Audi badge, and right. And it's a different kettle of fish to the ID.4. Considering it all had the same platform, the same genesis as the ID.4, the Q4 is much more of, I think I would say, a traditional or analogous experience of driving a combustion car, and so it's just the Audi styling. And it's all the interior and it's the Audi feel, but essentially it's based on a really good platform. And I would go with it. I think the Q4 is great. I think it's expensive for what you get when you look at the used prices or even the prices of the original Audi e-tron. And then you do get a lot more car because that e-tron has been absolutely clobbered with depreciation. And so I think that the e-tron is still and remains a very good option, and I have not heard, I've not seen on the forums of considerable problems with the original Audi e-tron. My only question to you is, could you get a 55? because I think the 50 sits in a really awkward place for me. The money that you have to spend on the 50 to get the small battery, the range that it provides, it's a very inefficient vehicle. The range that it provides, I think come resale, it's questionable. Now, I think the 50, at best, is a second car, but it's probably a second car for people who can afford to have it as a second car. It's so inefficient. It doesn't get the range that you need. Would your budget push to a 55? Because the 55 is the real deal. It's got the bigger battery and it's got, you know, we're talking used here, obviously. It's got, I think, enough range that when you come to sell it, people won't balk at that. But I think people start to balk at the range of the 50. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to say is it's going to diminish the size of the used market when you come to move it on. And that may or may not be a problem for you. If it works for you in your day-to-day life, day in, day out, then great, get the 50. I've looked at the 50 personally because there were some good deals on it. And it would suit us because I don't do road trips. But ultimately, I was thinking, well, I come to shift that vehicle on, my pool of buyers is going to be so much smaller because people will go, oh, how many miles? Okay, no, the 55, I think it's a dead cert. And because of the depreciation that's hit it, you can get some great used deals on that. And then you say about the, you had a, was it the dealer? Was this the one with, no, maybe it wasn't. The rep. Yeah, the rep. And I had some ones with less than 4,000 miles, but wouldn't even open the door. What do you mean by that? Wouldn't open the door? What, the dealer wouldn't open the door?
I think probably at the Memphis Auto Show, a car show at that particular venue, I guess.
There's a million car dealers in the world. Don't use that car dealer. They just lost a sale.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think the Q4 is a pretty, I mean, I would go for 2024 if you like really, because she drives like 80 miles a day. So you don't want her to be, you know, broken down on the side of the road or stopped for some reason. So the 2024 Audi Q4, I think, and yeah, like you, I make great, good shout about the batteries too. Like, if you're going to go that far, just go that a bit farther and get the bigger battery. Because yeah, like the ID4, the Audi Q4 e-tron this year, the 2024, is much improved over the previous years. The software, it's got the bigger screen, it's got the new AP550 motor in it, so more power, more efficient, more range. Yeah, I think that's the way to go. We were also looking at, I was thinking about, because they were talking about the e-trons earlier in this thing. I was wondering, are they confusing I was wondering if they were maybe confusing the full-blown, the big boy Audi e-tron with the Q4, you know, which is which is what Kyle has. And there's a lot of good deals on those that I can use, but I'm not convinced of the reliability, you know. I'd probably be all right. And the range is, what, around 200 in the real world, probably, commuting?
Yeah.
And they charge decent. And there's some good deals worth looking at there. But I really do like this more, like, newer Q4 e-tron. But if you didn't want to splurge on a new one, there's, like, used ones out there. So he's asking if that $39,700 was a good price for that used one. I mean, I did a little poking around, and I found this, which is a 22 Audi Q4 e-tron Quattro Premium 50, so the smaller battery, but all-wheel drive, for $31,990. It's in Texas. That's quite a bit lower. That's got $8,000 lower than the one you're looking at there. So there are better deals out there than what you're looking at. I couldn't find this in a Sportback, though. There just wasn't any around, I think. I was looking for, like, I think they mentioned a Sportback 50 Premium. Yeah, it was a little harder to find the Sportback version. Yes.
Interesting. It's much easier for me to find the Sportback than the proper one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, Sportback is, I think it does look good. But if I was getting the Audi e-tron, I'd get it that looks like an Audi e-tron that's got the space in it. Although the Sportback doesn't lose that much space. It's easier to find Sportbacks on the used market over here. For some reason, they were just more popular.
Interesting. Okay. So I tried to think of an alternative, just something else to break away from, like, something kind of premium feeling, or, you know, relatively nice, you know, out there. And so I thought maybe just like pick up a Lyriq that's had some of the depreciation knocked off of it.
Wow.
Right. So
now, I think we're going to start talking about lyrics and blazers more in 2024. Right. Now that they're hitting, now they're arriving, particularly the lyrics. But I think you're all of a sudden going to add another complication, a happy one, into your buying decisions, because I really like this. We don't get it. I really like it.
Right. This is a great deal. I mean, yeah, I saw one of these in traffic the other day here in Tallahassee, and I was just, it's got some presence. They don't
all really has.
Yeah. Some of them look better than others. There's like, I think this is a sport one. There's some versions of the sport. One, this is a sport here. That just, there's something, they have like the smoked chrome trim and things like that. It's just kind of, in black, it really can really all come together quite nicely. Yeah, wheels. It's got wheels. Steering wheel. All right, yeah. So 41.9 for this 2024 Lyric Sport 1. I believe this is... I think this is like the new price. Does that make sense? I don't know. This dealer had a few on the site there.
Yeah. But, and of course, we will get the Lyric here in not the UK, but it's in Switzerland. I think it might be in France. GM is returning to Europe, and they're doing it slowly, and country by country. So I'm not sure we'll get a right-hand drive version, but there will be some European ones flying around. It was last autumn or so they arrived back in Switzerland was the first country to get them. So I'm not sure how they've been successful. I'm going to go away and find out now after we finish our live podcast and have a look and see. I think the plan was to then maybe GM France was going to be next, but I mean, much, much more expensive because of the import taxes that we have to pay, you would pay on that car. But still, psyched to have it here because I really like it.
Yeah, it's a cool looking car. It's going to be interesting to see how they can compete in Europe with GM. With you guys have like a lot of good value brands and nice domestic premiums
and the Chinese cars are coming in. So yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole different battlefield, so to speak.
And the price is going to put people off unless they really, really want one.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. But I mean, over here for this gentleman, I just thought it was a nice, affordable luxury kind of thing, affordable premium sort of space. I'm trying to think what else might be in there. I want to say Buick, but I don't want to say Buick because it's not quite, But the newest Buick's kind of catching my eye. Sometimes I catch myself like, what is that? Oh, it's a Buick. I'm looking at a Buick. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. You're right about the road presence. If you want something that's when you park it up and to do your shopping and then you're walking away from the car, you do a little glance over your shoulder. You know, you bought the right car when you do. You look back on it and go, looks nice. I did all right. So, and the Lyric's got that for me. And, and the Blazer. I know people have opinions on the subjective stuff with looks and that, but I think both look like good cars.
And also, actually, I was also thinking too of her commute is like 80 miles. So that's a lot of time to spend in the car every day. And the Lyric is nice inside. Like, it's comfortable. The ride is great.
But so is the e-tron.
It's very quiet. It's super quiet.
So is the e-tron, though. So yeah. The e-tron's a lovely place to be.
Like the Lyric has like a noise canceling system as well, so it's extra quiet. It's like it's pretty nice, and the sound system is great. It's what's it got, the AKG system, I believe.
Okay.
Anyway, but that's three emails, three viewers. There's cars for y'all this week. So I think that brings us to the end of our show, unless you have another suggestion up your sleeve.
I think we're done. Thank you for tuning in, everybody.
Yes. Yeah, thanks for joining us, y'all. Good to see you. It's interesting. We don't do this show live every week, but it is great when we do because, I love seeing y'all in the comments. Right. So that brings us to the end of this show. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe. Tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you again in the next one. Ciao.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.